It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
And that is the wail of a common loon, a long-range contact call between mates. That call is from the Loon Preservation Committee, which describes these agile divers as a symbol of wilderness in early summer.
Now, a new report from the Loon Project finds that murky water in northern Wisconsin lakes and climate change are contributing to declines in our state's loon population.
Walter Piper is a biology professor at Chapman University and leads the project. Walter, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on.
So your report in the Journal of Ecology on loons is trying to determine what is contributing to this decline. What are you finding in northern Wisconsin?
Well, just to explain the decline very quickly, there's been decline over the last quarter century since the time we've been doing our work in the masses of chicks, the weights of chicks. And so that's the decline that's been puzzling us, and there's also higher mortality in chicks. And so the question is, what could be causing that? And since they're lower masses, an obvious suspect is food, is that they're not getting enough food. And so we got together with a couple of collaborators at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, Max Glines and Kevin Rose, who use satellite data to measure water clarity, and they can go back 40 years in time, and we could pull together their satellite data measuring the water clarity in our lakes together with the chick mass data, the weights of the chicks that we capture when we go out at night. What we found was that there was a very close correlation between the masses of the chicks and the water clarity that the satellite data was showing. So if you had a couple of weeks in July when you had a very turbid water, the water was much less clear than normal. That meant the chicks were going to be much lighter than normal. And if you had a great year for water clarity, a great month, I should say, it's mainly the month of July for water clarity, then the chicks would be fat and sassy. So there was a really strong dependency there.
Oh, so that's interesting. In murky water, those loons have a difficult time diving and seeing their prey. Is that an issue?
That's what we presume. They're visual predators, of course, and they chase their prey, mostly fish, underwater. And so if there's a sudden change in a decrease in the clarity of the water, that seems to make it much more difficult for them to find prey, and the chicks end up suffering. They simply can't find enough food to feed their chicks as much as they would like to. And of course, they have to feed themselves. They have to keep themselves alive. They're long-lived animals, so they have to take an eye to the future and keep themselves alive for 20, sometimes 30 or more years during their entire lives. So
in the summers, too, we also have the difficulties with the algae blooms, the invasives on lakes. Is that an issue for loons?
Well, the second stage of this work, after this initial paper showing that water clarity is a problem, that declining water clarity is a problem for loons finding prey, the second piece of it is to say what might be causing that decline in water clarity. And it could be something as simple as sediment that's washing into the lakes, because we also know that it's linked to rainfall, that higher years of high rainfall reduce water clarity. There's a tight correlation between the amount of rain in July and the clarity of the water in a lake in July. And so it could be sediments that are washing into the lakes. It could be fertilizer, as you suggest with the algal blooms. It could be that nitrogen and phosphorus fertilizers that people are putting out on their lawns, on their lakeside lawns, are washing into lakes, causing a bloom of phytoplankton, which make the water less clear and therefore make the loons struggle to feed their chicks.
We're not sure. You mentioned July. Why is that a sensitive month for the loon population?
Well, because loons, they're sitting on nests now, and the chicks are just about to hatch. And so the chicks typically hatch in June sometime. And so June's an important month, too, but July is the most critical month for most loon pairs because their chicks are rapidly growing from maybe, a week or two of age to 6-7 weeks of age. And therefore, the chicks are very demanding of food and are growing at a rapid rate, providing the parents can provide enough food to allow that to happen. So it's just a critical month for chick growth and survival.
We're talking about environmental risks affecting the common loon population with biologist Walter Piper is here, leads the Wisconsin-based Loon Project. Walter, do you have advice or analysis on how to reverse this trend that you're seeing in the decline of the population?
Well, it's early, so we need to be a little tentative because we're still exploring this pattern. As I mentioned, we're not sure exactly what's causing the decline in water clarity, but there are two factors two ways in which we might be able to affect this pattern, reduce this loss of water clarity. One of them is that it does seem to be rainfall related, and of course, higher rainfall is predicted with climate change. And so if we can continue to try to cope with climate change, reduce fossil fuel burning and so forth, that will help. But that's a giant ocean liner that we're trying to turn around with climate change. And so more directly, if we can figure out exactly what it is that's causing the decline in water clarity, if it, for example, is fertilizers that people are putting on their lawns by the lakeside that are washing into the lakes and causing the decline in clarity, in a way, that's hopeful because that means we can say to people, hey, you know, that those fertilizers that are washing into the lake are hurting the loons. So we kind of hope that it's something like fertilizer that can help us, but we aren't at the stage where we can tell people definitively that is what's causing the problem.
Let's look to a moment to our neighbor, Minnesota. You're replicating this research from the Loon Project in Minnesota. What are you finding compared to your research here in Wisconsin?
Well, Minnesota loons seem to be very similar to Wisconsin loons in all the respects that I've seen. There are slight geographic differences. There are more cattails in the lakes here, for example. So there's slight differences in habitat. But by and large, the Minnesota loons are very similar to Wisconsin loons. In fact, the first wave of data that we have suggests that factors that affect Minnesota loons or affect Wisconsin loons affect Minnesota loons similarly. That is, we also weigh adults, adult males and females, as well as the chicks. And so far, it looks like the average masses of adult males in Wisconsin and Minnesota fluctuate together. So if there's a good year for Wisconsin males, male breeders, that's a good year for Minnesota male breeders. So that's one clear similarity.
How do you weigh them?
We put them in a bag. We put them in a laundry bag, basically a mesh bag, and just hang them from a scale very briefly. It just takes a few seconds, and we take them out immediately and release them in the water. It's not a lengthy process, but it provides such valuable data to us, as we've seen with this water clarity finding that it's really important to get those data.
Well, let's listen to some of their calls. You mentioned May in early June in this nesting period, and this is also the period of hope. Let's listen to a territorial call from a male loon, and this is the yodel. So that is from the Loon Preservation Committee. What does the loon yodel communicate?
It communicates a lot. First of all, it's a voice. It's the male's voice, and it's distinctive. It's unique to that male. And so if you're on a big lake that has several territorial pairs, and we were on one this morning here in Minnesota, you can hear yodels up the lake from other adjacent territories, and you can recognize the voice. You can say, oh, that's the big trout west male yodeling. That's the big trout central male yodeling, and that's the Ox Lake male yodeling from over the highway, and so forth. Huh. So it's unique. It's a voice, just like a human voice is a voice. And it also, of course, it conveys just the occurrence of a yodel conveys territorial aggression and the willingness to behave aggressively if an intruder comes in your territory. And the one final thing that it communicates is that it communicates age. And as a male gets older, its territorial yodel becomes higher pitched. This is a finding from Brian Hooper, who was a postdoc with me a few years ago. So older males have very, very high pitched yodels, and younger males have deep low-pitched yodels. So
you know your research subjects so well. You have such a grounded sense of place. In our just final moments together, what draws you to the loon? What do you love about it?
Well, I do love the calls. And even as a child up in Ontario, we have some cabins on a remote lake. And so I think it's the calls more than anything else that gets called to me.
Aww.
and got me just excited about this species and anxious to, to try to do everything that I can to preserve them. And having worked for 32 years in Wisconsin, I don't want my legacy to be the disappearance of my study animal, because if we can fix that, I'd like to try to help do that.
Walter, thank you for joining us. Walter Piper, biology professor at Chapman University in Orange, California, leads the Loon Project based in northern Wisconsin and author of a new paper in the journal Ecology.